Next week, Bezrat Hashem, we're starting a very powerful period of 6 weeks, 6.5 weeks, give or take. That period is called Shovavim, Tkufat HaShovavim, the period of Shovavim. What is a Shovav? Shovav, the translation of Shovav is naughty or mischievous. Shovavim is really an acronym. It's an acronym of the six parashot, the weekly portions of the Torah that we're going to start reading from next week. We are now finishing this week the book of Bereshit. Next week we're starting a whole new book and a whole new parasha that is called Shmot. That's the Shin of Shovavim. After that comes another parasha. Parasha means a weekly portion. Parashat Va'era, that's the Vav of Shovavim. Then Bo, then Beshalach, then Nitro, then Mishpatim. These are the order of the weekly parashot that we're about to read now. So Shovavim really is an acronym of the six parashot. The reason why I said 6.5 weeks, because we're going into Parashat Truma and Tetzaveh. I'll explain later why we're going into the 7th and 8th parashot. And this is a very powerful period that we can achieve unbelievable rectification for our neshama, for our soul, for many sins that we did, and great sins that were going all the way back to Adam HaRishon in the creation of the world. Now, in this quick class that we're going to have, I'm just going to cover very quickly, first of all, what is this 6 weeks about? What are the sources? What are we going to be able to fix and rectify? What needs to be done and why I need to prepare? And how? And the reason why I was important to do the class today is that people can already start preparing psychologically, emotionally, and whatever else they need, that next week, we're starting the 6 weeks, then you're already prepared for that. And I can already tell you, it's not going to be like what we did in the summer, the 40 days journey or the 40 days tshuva boot camp. It's not going to be on a daily basis. Probably will, but not as intense. But for the next 6 weeks, we're going to have a lot of lectures just about the Shovavim, what needs to be done, and the importance of it, and how it's also connected to the time that we live in, and why it's so important to everybody to participate. It's not only for men, and it's not only for Jews, it's for everybody, because it is the best way to detox our soul from all the junk that it accumulated in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life, plus previous incarnations, plus sins that were created in different generations. So it's extremely important, and it's a very powerful time. It's a period that is worth taking into consideration, and you know, as they say, you strike the iron while it's hot. It's a very powerful opportunity. Some people even say that it is just as great as the 10 day of tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what's called Aseret Yamei Tshuva. To many of our sages, they say the 6 weeks of Shovavim is just as powerful of the 10 days of tshuva. And I will explain in length everything. Today I just want to touch the topics that we can have a very general idea of the period, what needs to be done, and then of course the ones who want to participate and join, then there's going to be many, many classes and instructions and what we need to do. So first of all, most important, everything that we do has to have a source. And many question, what is the source of the period of the Shovavim? So there are many different sources. I'm going to go to one of the most powerful and the most reputable, of course, is the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, who lived about 450 years ago. In one of his books called Sha'ar Ruach HaKodesh, specifically in Tikkun Kafzayin, Tikkun 27, he explains in length about the period, what needs to be done, what are we correcting, how are we doing it, and so forth. And he explains that this is all based on a verse that we read in the book of Yirmiyahu. And the verse can be found, of course, in the book of Yirmiyahu, chapter 3, verse 22. Yirmiyahu is Jeremiah. And in the verse it says, Shuvu banim shovavim. That's the beginning part of the verse. The translation, return, backsliding children. And then the verse continues, I will cure your backsliding. I'm not 100% happy with this whole backsliding as a translation, Shobav is, like I said before, somebody who's naughty, somebody who's mischievous, somebody who's behaving in an inappropriate way. So this verse is talking about these mischievous people or backsliding people. Do tshuva. And if you do tshuva, if you repent, then I will cure you from your damages. Now, this also goes, Ari HaKadosh explains that this goes all the way back to the time of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon is Adam. We don't like calling his wife Eve because her name is Chava. But it goes all the way back to Adam HaRishon. That after the sin of the tree of knowledge, Adam HaRishon divorced his wife. And for 130 years, he was single. And the Zohar, and not only the Zohar, also Rashi. I mean, Rashi is a commentator on the Pshat of the Torah. Explained that for 130 years he was mating with, as it says, with almost anything that moved. With animals, with demons, with angels, and he created a lot of problems. Problems, I mean, he created demons and spirits, and I told you already, we didn't get to that, to learn about the entire civilization that lives under the ground, and that's all from Adam HaRishon from that time. And needless to say that he sinned in one of the most severe sins in the Torah, which is called Shechvat Zera Levatala. That a person, a man, ejaculates sperm, not for the sake of procreating. End of story. Now, I forgot to say something important in the beginning of the class. This class and the entire course will be rated R. Or we'll say PG-13, but in some cases R. So for the ones with a weak heart, maybe it's not going to be so appropriate. But we're going to have to use some terms that a lot of people don't like hearing. And to also talk about things that people seem to try to ignore that exists in the world. But that's the reality, and you have to face the reality, especially in our days, that the truth is being smacked into our face. If you do not know how to handle the truth, you're going to have a serious problem in the next few months. But nevertheless, so Adam HaRishon used to do many different sins. And this is called, in the biblical term, Zera Levatala. Zera means sperm or seed. Levatala means not for the sake of procreating. So all these souls that he created, because if you're looking at the sperm count, there are millions of sperm counts when a man ejaculates sperm. And for each one of these sperm counts, the person brings down to the world souls. He doesn't create the souls. This is a misunderstanding. A lot of people think that he doesn't create the souls. He brings them down to the world. So Adam HaRishon brought thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of souls to the world, that they had to get reincarnated at the generation of Noach to do a tikkun, to do tshuva, to do a rectification. They did not. They got destroyed with the flood. Came back again in another incarnation in the generation that is called Ha'apalaga, the generation of the tower that went against the master of the universe. They didn't do a rectification, then they had to come back again. And by the way, then over and over and over, then the Rizal explains that they were reincarnated again into the generation of Mitzrayim, and then Mitzrayim means Egypt, the 210 years of slavery, and then they did a tikkun, a rectification, and many of the souls were purified, nizdakechu. But there are still many that weren't, and our obligation is not only to do a rectification for our own sins, but also for many generations back, in order for us to be able to correct this entire sin. For all generations, it's called Tikkun Olam, the rectification of the entire world. Another source, and again, I'm going pretty fast now, just so we can cover quickly the topic. After that, already we're going to elaborate on everything more in depth. Another source goes all the way back to a period that is called Zman HaGeonim. We have periods that most people are aware of, some are not, but all the history, especially in Judaism, is divided into periods. So we have the periods of the sages, the Tanaim, other types of sages, Amoraim. There's another period of sages that is called Geonim. Gaon, the translation, is a genius, but really, that's not necessarily referring to geniuses. This is a period of time that was about between 1400 years ago to 900 years ago. And these Geonim, these individuals that are called Geonim, and again, Gaon is a genius, Geonim are geniuses, but it's really referring to the heads of the yeshivot of Sura and Pompidita. If you remember, some of you were here, I don't remember, I think it was maybe going 3 years back, that we learned the entire history of the era of the Talmud, and we were explaining where these all yeshivot are coming from. So there were yeshivot in Eretz Israel, in the land of Israel, and the yeshivot in Babel, in Babylon. So the major two yeshivot are called Sura and Pompidita, and all the heads of the yeshivot, the rabbis, are called Geonim. This is a period of about 500 years, going all the way back about 1400 years ago to about 900 years ago. So there is a book. The book is called Sefer Hakana. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a very powerful book. Some people, there's an argument with the author of the book, which we go by the author of the book is Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. I'm sure you heard of him from the tractate of the Avot, the Ethics of the Father, Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. Who was Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana? He was the Rebbe of the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I'll say it again. Rabbi Akiva, I'm sure you heard of, one of our greatest sages. He had a Rebbe. His Rebbe had another. His Rebbe, and that's Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. So in his book, in that book, the Sefer Hakana, it's already talking about this Shovavim. That's how far back it goes to. And there's another source in history. There's a rabbi called Yosef Ostreicher, who is also known as Leket Yosher. He wrote a book called Leket Yosher. He was a student of a very famous rabbi, Rabbi Israel Iserlin, who is also known as the Trumat Adeshen, going back about 500 years ago, even more. Might be mistaken, who also in his book is explaining about the Shovavim and everything about it. I'm just giving some sources because a lot of people, they need sources. Also, the Magen Avraham speaks about it on the Shulchan, on the Pirush, on the Shulchan Aruch, and like that, there are a few others. So now that we know a little bit about their sources, then what is this tikkun? What is this period that is called Shovavim? The teachings of Kabbalah explains, and I'm not going to get into depth in it right now, that when a person does a sin, then needs a tikkun, a rectification. A person that sins does a certain damage, a blemish, and that damage needs to be fixed. So specifically these 6 weeks, for whatever reason right now that I'm not going to talk about it right now, we're going to explain it throughout the 6 weeks. Why these 6 weeks? But these 6 weeks are a very auspicious time to do a rectification, not only for the great sin of Zera Levatala, but for many other sins. And it's explained in the teachings of Kabbalah that each week is a tikkun, a rectification for a different sin. For the week of Parashat Shmot, which is next week, will be a tikkun, a rectification for Brit, for Avon HaBrit. And Avon HaBrit, by the way, we're going to have to learn about it a lot more. It's not only Zera Levatala. And again, Zera Levatala is sperm that goes not for the sake of procreating, because there's something that is called Keri, and Keri is the translation of sperm, but not always it goes in a not right way. It can happen at night. A man has a dream at night and some goes out. He didn't do it on purpose. And even a husband and wife can be together and can be some keri going out, and that's also bad. Avon HaBrit is anything that has to do with the behavior, sexual behavior, that is not for the sake of procreating, and it's already will branch out to many different things, which we're going to have to explain in depth, because this is really one of the biggest sins in our generation and goes back to all generations, by the way. It's not that we invented something. It's just that in our generation, it's completely out of control, mainly because the side of darkness, what we call the Samich Mem, the Satan, the devil, Lucifer, call him wherever you want. His entire agenda is to get us impure through this type of behavior. Because when I'm impure because of this type of behavior, it's easier to control me. Very, very simple. That's why most people on this planet are very easily controlled. Why? Because inside is not pure. Why is it not pure? Because they sin in all these sins that has to do with marital relations, sex, and so forth. So if a person is kadosh, holy, nothing can control him. No one can control him. And that's why it's so connected to our period, because a lot of people are saying, what am I going to do with all this going on? Make yourself holy. You're holy, nothing can touch you. No entity can touch you if you are kadosh, if you're holy. And I'm saying it in Lashon Zachar, like I'm talking to a man. This is, it's also for women, it's for everybody. Jews, non-Jews, everybody. We have to be kadosh. Kadosh doesn't mean necessarily holy. Kadosh means separated. And we're going to have to elaborate on that too, because that's really our weapon, by the way. Now when people want to know how you're going to fight the evil regime that is coming to annihilate us, only if you're holy. You're holy, nothing's going to touch you. So, and the whole 6 weeks is tikkun for everything in the Brit. But the teachings of Kabbalah explains that the week of Shemot is a tikkun for Brit. The week of Vayera is a tikkun for what's called Nida. Nida is the impurity of a woman when she has her cycle. Doesn't mean that the woman is impure. It means that the blood that comes out on the woman's cycle is impure. And of course, Chas v'Shalom, and a man and a woman have marital relations while the woman is in her cycle. It's one of the most severest impurities that damages the soul in a way that is almost unrepairable. Now, of course, many people all their life, they're in the state of this impurity, because in order to remove this impurity, then the woman has to immerse in the mikveh. And if she doesn't all her life, then any type of marital relation, doesn't matter at what period, is involved with this impurity, which is called nida. And the week of Vayera is the tikkun for nida. The week of Bo is an impurity that is called goya. For us as Jews, we're not allowed to assimilate with other nations. It's not being racist. It's not being anything else like that. I explained in one of my classes why we're not allowed to do it. It has nothing to do with thinking we're better or we're racist or something. Jews are not allowed to assimilate with the nations. And there's a reason for that. And we'll take some time in these 3 weeks to teach about it, because a lot of people take it personally. And unfortunately, in our generation, we have about probably anywhere from 70 to 80% of assimilation, which is a big problem. It's a problem for the Jew, and it's a bigger problem for the Gentile that is married to the Jew. So this is called Goya. And again, I said that 1,000 times, Goy is not a bad word. People think Goy is a derogatory word. Goy means nation. That's what it is. And the right Hebrew, goy means a body. So the week of Bo is a tikkun goya. The week of Beshalach will be tikkun for one of the worst sins that we all fail miserably, which is called kaas, anger. And don't think it's not a sin. To get angry, it's a sin. Yeah, put it on your record. We're not allowed to get angry. So... Also, it's not so easy to do a tikkun, a rectification for anger. What happens when you get angry? You punch the wall and you make a hole in the wall. So now you have to fix the wall. And this isn't a good case, you punch the wall. In many cases, you break half of what you own. So you have to do a tikkun. And everything that I'm saying now, we're going to go thoroughly throughout the 6 weeks. I'm just giving you now an overview. So the week of Beshalach, tikkun for kaas. The week of Yitro, tikkun for one of the worst sins that most people have. It's called Ge'ava. Gava means pride, ego. And this is another big no-no. We're not allowed to have that. So it has to be a big tikkun for anything that has to do with pride, ego, and so forth. And the week of Mishpatim is tikkun, that for something that a lot of people don't take seriously. It is one of the most important mitzvot, commandments that we have in the Ten Commandments, which is called Kibud Avim, honoring your mother and your father. And for the ones who are not aware, this is the fifth commandment from the 10th commandments. And many people don't really know the severity, the intensity, the importance. There has to be a tikkun here. And of course, like I told you, we're going into also the parashot of Truma and Tetzaveh. I'm not going to explain it now, but according to the Arizal, the real tikkun, which is called tikkun abrit, tikkun for zera levatala, is fasting for 40 days straight. We don't do that because nobody's able to fast 40 days. I'm not talking about not eating for 40 days. I mean you fast from that, from alot hashachar, from dawn, till the stars go out, and then at night you can eat, but 40 days. That's what the Muslims do, right? They go Ramadan. So technically, one shouldn't have a problem to do it, but I don't know many people who do the 40 days straight. But the reason why am I explaining that? Because if you do 40 days, then you have to go into Parashat Truma and Tetzaveh. Why? Because we don't fast on Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat. So you need those 40 days. So the 6 weeks of the six parashot, the portions that I'm talking about, it goes into Truma and Tetzaveh. But again, I will go into depth about everything. I'm just giving you an explanation. Now, again, there are many types of ways what people do throughout these 6 weeks. The majority focus around fasts. There are fasts of eating. Some people fast 40 days straight. Some people fast only Monday and Thursdays. Some people cannot fast. They redeem the fasts with money. Some people cannot do that. They do taniyot dibur, fasting with speaking. They don't speak. And also so different things. Some people, based on Hasidic philosophy, they don't fast at all and they don't do anything with money. Rather, they learn 5 hours straight Torah. And in those 5 hours, no water, no eating, no breaks, no nothing. So again, we're going to give all the options. You choose what you want to do. But I can already tell you, to learn 5 hours of Torah without a stop, that's pretty intense. And without sipping on tea every few lines. 5 hours, you learn Torah. So again, there's many different ways what to do. We're going to explain everything. It's just important to me to relay the information that people can start saying, okay, I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity coming. How am I going to approach it? And I will explain what can be done every day. We'll post kind of similar to what we did in the Tshuva boot camp and the 40 days journey that we did. We're going to post all this information that people can follow step by step. Now, who should be participating in this journey? Everybody. For men, I can already tell you that one of the most severe sins that men have, doesn't matter, Jews, non-Jews, religious, Torah observant, secular, everybody. You probably have a fraction. They don't have that sin on their record, which is called Zera Levatala. And again, Zera Levatala means that sperm goes out of the male organ, not for the sake of procreating with his legal wife. End of story. There's no other way of saying it. Any other way that it goes out, this will be considered in, of course, there are many different types. Zera Levatala. One of the most severe sins, the Shulchan Aruch, the Jewish code of law, says this is the most severe sin for a Jew. It also applies to Gentiles. I'll touch that in a second. But for Jews, I would say one of the most severe sins that the Zohar says that you can't even do tshuva for. The only way to do tshuva for Zera Levatala is what's called tshuva ila'a, very high level of tshuva. And that's no simple, not so easy to achieve. And we're going to talk in the next few weeks. How do you achieve that? Because I can already tell you, the storm is coming. I'm sure you're seeing with your eyes, the storm is already coming in here. The storm, I'm not talking about some wind. I'm talking about the storm that the master of the universe is going to bring down to this world before he appears to the final time. As I said many times, God did not reveal himself to the world clearly how he did 3,300 years ago, plus, at the time of the giving of the Torah. That was the last time that Hashem actually revealed himself to the entire world. Okay, there was a manifestation of and revelations, but not the way Hashem was revealed on the mountain on Har Sinai. Now, after an absence of 3,300 plus years, what do you think? Hashem is going to come with some lightning? The production that is going to be unfolded in front of our eyes, not many people will be able to handle. First of all, the ones who don't have the merit will die before it happens. And you can see how easily many, many people can die. I mean, now they're telling us with an imaginary virus. But many people can die at any given moment. And the ones who are not they don't have the merit, well, don't see it. But I can already tell you that the ones who will survive the storms are the ones who are holy. Now, you don't have to hover over the ground. That's not what I'm talking about, holy. It means that you have to do a tikkun, a rectification. You have to do tshuva to make sure that you are as holy as possible before Judgment Day. And the Judgment Day is going to be in this world. And I can tell you already, not to be fear-mongering or annoying or whatever, not everybody will survive. Because the storm is going to come and take a lot. So who is it important to? Everybody. Men especially, because men have the sin of Zer Levatelah. And again, like I told you, it's irrelevant your age. I know men in their 60s and 70s that they have their sinning. Jews, non-Jews, observant, Torah observant, non-observant, secular, don't think that you are so safe from it. The Yetzer Hara, when he comes to attack, because he knows that's the weakness. So there are two major lusts in our existence. It's food and marital relations. That's what it is since day one. So any man, which is most men, that sinned, even if you now you did tshuva and you clean for a month or two or a year or two or a decade, doesn't matter, you still have it on your record. And many men, even if they are bemet 100% clean, then they also came out by mistake many different times in many different ways. Has to be done tshuva. So this is the most important, the most auspicious time to do tshuva for Zera Levatala. Women, it's also very important to them to participate. First of all, because they are responsible to many of the times that the men fail. Second, they are participating in the act with the men. Third of all, many women, Hashem Yerachem, did abortions. And that is unfathomable, the level of the severity of the damage of a woman who did an abortion. Besides murder. I'm not only talking about the murder. It's the act itself. So men have Zera Levatala, women have abortions. And many women had abortions. Not only a miscarriage right now, miscarriage is a miscarriage. And there are situations, very rare, that medically, to save the woman's life, she had to go through an abortion. I would maybe, for now, separate it aside. But women should participate, A, because they are, in many cases, responsible for the men sinning by walking half-naked in the street and behaving in a certain way. Second of all, they participate with the man himself. In many cases, and of course, like I told you, for women who did abortions, this is the best tikkun a woman can do. And I will explain everything, by the way. I'm just throwing to you now the idea. For non-Jews, also very, very important. A lot of people say, hey, non-Jews are not really obligated with Zera Levatala. But first of all, I can tell you one thing, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the universe, hates many things, but one of the things that he hates the most, it's called lewdness. Lewdness means this disgusting behavior. I mean, it's not only lewdness. It's also prostitution and whoredom and adultery and abomination. Hashem can't stand that. So that applies to non-Jews and Jews the same way. So even a lot of non-Jews says, hey, you know, the non-Jews are not warned about Zera Levatala. Okay, so maybe they're not warned about Zera Levatala, but it doesn't mean Hashem likes it. I can tell you already that in the nations, Hashem cannot stand all these that I was just saying, the lewdness and the prostitution and adultery and abomination. So either way, this applies to everybody, because also non-Jews, Gentiles that want to be part of their redemption, they have to be clean from all this junk. Now, besides the tikkun for, like I said, all this horrible behavior, this is also a very great tikkun. Tikkun means a rectification for all the types of the te'avot. Te'ava means a lust. We all have lusts. And here I'm talking about lust for forbidden things, not lust for a cookie, which is to some extent also not the healthiest thing to lust. But I'm talking about other lusts. And each one can dig down to the depth of their chambers of their soul. What do they lust? Any type of lust that you have, and I'm talking about forbidden things, which in many cases will be marital relations, which it's funny, you can't really call it marital relations because it's not with somebody you're married to, right? So I'm just trying to keep the words as clean as possible. But the point is, for the act, let's put it this way. Any type of lust, this is a good rectification tool. It's also an amazing rectification for what's called tikkun midot. Midot means my characteristics. We've been learning that lately with Tomer Dvorah and many other books. This is a very auspicious time to do tikkun midot. Also for what's called kiddush nefesh. This is one of the most important things. Because when I look at inappropriate pictures, when I look at inappropriate movies, and when I listen to inappropriate music, and when I'm involved in inappropriate acts, it makes me extremely unholy, extremely unrefined. And you see how people talk, how they behave, how they walk, how they dress. Where do you think it's coming from? It's coming from this disgusting impurity. Listen how people talk. The words that are coming out of people's mouths, how people behave, how people treat each other. It's not refined individual. A person who's refined is dressed nice. Look how people dressed 100 years ago. Body parts were covered. Legs were covered. Women were wearing dresses. Men were wearing tuxedos, suits. Just the other day, I was telling to my wife, look, go 60, 70 years back. Go to the musicians. Look at how did Frank Sinatra used to get dressed? With a tuxedo. Right? Now the singers, Hashem Erachem, how they're dressed. And they're like the ones who, so to say, taking most of the people after them, at least it's especially the youth. Look how they're dressed on the stage. You know, I don't know all the names now, but, you know, even go back 20, 30 years ago with Madonna, how she was on the stage, like a hooker, like a prostitute. Now what do you have now? Shakira, Britney Spears, I don't even know the names. They're not dressed like normal singers. They're dressed like whores on the stage. And the performance, Hashem Erachem. Go back 50 years ago. How the women used to dress, refined, clean, nice. So everything changed to a point that the entire generation of the entire planet, it's coming from this horrible impurity. And it comes out with how people speak, how they walk, how they talk, everything. So this tikkun is perfect to refine yourself. You want to be refined. If you find yourself using false language, thinking horrible things, you know, most men, I told you already, I'm sorry, this is the reality. The lectures are going to be, in some cases, PG-13 or rated R. Most men, they look at a woman who is attractive on the street, within a second and a half, she's already undressed in their mind, and Hashem Erachem, what is going on in their thoughts. And that's what's going on with most men. Now, if you are a man and that's what goes on in your mind, don't say, oh, it's normal. It's not normal. I would say it's normal if you're at least undressing a woman and not undressing a man. That's completely not normal. But if you're, some people say, at least I'm dressing a woman. Yeah, but that's not normal to look at a woman. If attractive, not attractive, and right away in your mind, you're already having relations with her? Are you picturing her in all sorts of weird... Come on. Something's wrong with the system, by the way. If you're looking at a woman, it can be rather other way around. But you're looking at another person, right away you desire them sexually, something's wrong in the system. This is no purity in the system. And that already should raise a lot of red flags. Wait a minute, what's going on? Why am I thinking stuff like that? The only one you should desire is your wife or your husband, vice versa. And another great tikkun, which is very important, especially in our generation, another great rectification we can achieve from this entire journey is what's called tikkun for atzvut, for sadness, for kaas. Kaas means anger, and geava, pride, which we all need a tikkun for that, a rectification. Especially in our generation, you can get angry in a second. Some people get angry like that for nonsense. Geava, the pride and the ego is out of control. And sadness, most people are depressed. They don't know how to control their sadness. And through the sadness, that's the biggest, the easiest gate where the evil inclination comes through. I mean, the dark forces there want you to be sad, because when you are sad and depressed, you are opening your doors wide open. Come into the domain and do whatever you want. When a person is depressed, he's totally controlled. 100% controlled. So just to summarize, we're going into a very auspicious time that we can reach to a very high level of rectification. Now, Can you do all that we just said throughout the year? Yeah, no problem. You can do tikkun and a tshuva. You can repent whenever you want. But when you're getting a 90% off coupon, then use the coupon. Of course you can do tshuva. In any given day you can do tshuva. For any sin that you do. But now, and I will explain in length why these 6 weeks. But now we have 6 weeks that the tshuva is easier to achieve. Tshuva means to repent, especially when it comes to Zera Levatala. It's not so easy to do tshuva with that. And especially for men when they have issues with controlling their eyes, controlling their thoughts, the movies they watch, the pictures they watch, etc., with what's going on in the internet. You should burn the computer down and cut your internet connection with a Shem Erachem where it's already in every person's hand. It's not so easy to do tshuva. It's not so easy to get rid of, forget about tshuva, to just get rid of the desire, to get rid of this filth. But now it's an auspicious time. Now if a person is so sealed, and if that's the right word to use, in Hebrew we say atum, a sealed, like a mind like a brick, then it's not going to necessarily work, because if a person is sick and they're not aware of their sickness, it's very hard to cure them. The awareness that you are sick, that's 50% of the cure. Most people don't think they have a problem. A lot of people who are alcoholic or drug addicts, you tell them, you know, you have an alcohol problem. No, I don't. Now, if you don't know that you have an alcohol problem, you will never be able to quit. Same thing with anything else. So, and if a person doesn't understand that they have a problem with addiction, whether it's pornography or whatever it is in that department, then you're not going to be able to cure them. So you have to have the awareness of what's going on and the severity of it. And by the way, why is it so connected to our time? Because I'm telling you already, a lot of people don't like hearing it, but I can care less. This is we're moments before the redemption, and Hashem is already paving the way for any individual who has a little bit of common sense to see that the end is near, to tell us in nice words, repent quick. Do tshuva, the time is up. You don't have another decade to do tshuva. Now you have to do tshuva. It can be a matter of days, weeks, months, maybe a year or two. Now you have time to play. Now is the time to do tshuva. And Hashem is showing it to us in such a clear way that Hashem says, I do not want to destroy, kill, and eliminate. Lo b'mot amet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to, Hashem wants you to do tshuva. But it's up to you. Nobody can do the tshuva for you. Hashem can lead you to the door, but you have to walk through the door. So it's obvious that the redemption is moments away. Now, only who will ever repent and do real tshuva and hold the Kadosh Baruch Hu, cleave unto Hashem, will survive this storm. Now I can already tell you, you have nothing to be afraid of. If you hold on to Hashem, you have nothing to be afraid of. A lot of people are afraid. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? Well, you can. The only one you need to be afraid of is God. That's the only one. To be afraid of a human being? To be afraid of a virus? To be afraid of a lockdown or a quarantine? This is nonsense. The only fear you should have is only to the master of the universe. If you're not afraid of the master of the universe, then you have a lot more to be afraid of. But if you are afraid of Hashem and you hold yourself on to the master of the universe, you have nothing to be afraid of. David, the Melech, King David says in the book of Tehillim, 1,000 will fall from here, 10,000 from here. For you, it's not going to touch you. But you have to make sure that you are holy, that you are kadosh. Kadosh means separated from anything that is impure. Anything that has to do with what a master of the universe doesn't like. Which means our tshuva has to be powerful right now. And if your tshuva is 100%, nothing's going to touch you. You have nothing to be afraid of. No government, no police, no disease, no nothing. But you have to do serious tshuva. And now, we've been handing it on a silver plate. 6 weeks, just focus on what you need to do. Repent sincerely. So now it will be 100 times easier than to do it any time of the year. So why would you want to leave? Why would you want? Don't want to jump on such an opportunity? That's why I wanted to especially do it today, so people can already have the time to start digesting it in their mind. You have Thursday, you have Friday, you have Shabbat. Next week, Sunday, we're starting Parashat Shmot, and we'll start learning. So for the ones who want to join us, I don't know if all the classes will go on YouTube per se. I think we'll do it like the other journeys, that the majority will just go on the website. For the ones who are watching online, all the links and the information will be under the video, on the pages, whatever it needs to be. But we will definitely throughout the WhatsApp group, if you're not on the WhatsApp group, join the WhatsApp group so you can follow all the instructions, WhatsApp, Telegram, social media. I try as much as possible not to post all the stuff on social media. Definitely not on that horrible fascist website. What do they call it? The book? How is it called? Yeah. So, and all the rest of the websites that they censor all your information. So a majority of it will go on our website, but just follow the instructions. And we'll do it similar to like to the previous journeys. The classes will go, some of them on YouTube, some of them on social media. I think it's easier to just follow it on the website, which I will definitely give a lot of lectures about all the topics that we spoke about, more explaining in depth about the 6 weeks, but also explaining about the severity of all these sins that we all have a part in. How to do the tikkun, how to get rid of it, how to strengthen your spiritual immune system, how to do tshuva the right way. We're going to have a lot of interesting classes, and hopefully you'll take advantage of that so you can apply it and take the opportunity of the 6 weeks to ride on the wave to really elevate yourself and to refine yourself to such a high level that you are prepared for any storm that is coming, which is coming, and more important, that you do tshuva. Whether you survive or not, it's irrelevant. At least you clean your neshama, you clean your soul. You repent the right way. So like I said before, this can be done at any day of the year, but now you have a 90% off coupon. You have a period, as they say sometimes with websites, you have a 30-day free trial. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you now 6 weeks. I wouldn't call it a free trial, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you now a very easy path to walk on, so your tshuva can be much, much easier. And at this point, we need it so bad, because only tshuva, only repentance is going to make us survive this coming storm. Only tshuva. There's no other way, by the way. People think they're going to run to the mountains. Maybe I'll go and hide on some island. What can I do to survive this? The only thing you can do to survive is be on the winning team, which is the master of the universe, and that can only be done if you're doing serious tshuva, then you're standing in the shadow of the master of the universe who runs the show, and nothing will touch you. So hopefully you'll join us for the 6 weeks. It's a little bit more than 6 weeks. We're going to learn a lot, do a lot, pray a lot, give a lot of tools what we need to do. And Bezal Hashem, we're hoping that our efforts, Bezal Hashem, will be accepted by the master of the universe. And needless to say, as many as people do, the more people do the tikkun, then it will definitely help the entire world, that the redemption should come sweeter, softer, with more mercy. And needless to say, will affect the entire human race. And of course, on our personal level, that it will affect us. And Bezal Hashem will be able to finally, right before the redemption, the last moments that we have, to rectify all our sins, to do the real tshuva for our Father in heaven. And Bezal Hashem, this should also hasten the coming of the redemption. And most important, that it should be with kindness and with mercy. And we should see it as soon as possible with our own physical eyes.